Well, we're here at last, aren't we? All the preparations are over, or at least any preparations you were going to do. It's too late now because all the shops are shut today, aren't they? The presents are bought and given and received, or at least they're ready to be given and received. I know some families do that after lunch. And we've sung carols, and I guess most of us by now have eaten mince pies, and we've sent and received cards, and finally here we are. It's Christmas morning, and we're here for the celebration of Christ. Christ Mass simply means that. Christ celebration, celebration of Christ. Anybody that tries to divorce the Christmas story from Christmas has not understood the simple word Christmas. Today is Jesus' birthday. We don't tend to sing happy birthday to him. I know there's a couple of other people who've got birthdays today. Rob, I've heard that it's your birthday. And Matt, I know that it's your birthday. So happy birthday to you two. And we may well sing happy birthday to you a little bit later on. But today is the day we celebrate Jesus' birthday. And we must not forget it. Because as soon as we forget it, we've kind of missed the point of Christmas, haven't we? I've heard people talk about it being a time for peace and joy and hope and love. And it's all of that, but it is absolutely about Jesus. Today is the day when we remember what happened 2,000 or more years ago in Bethlehem. And when you stop and you read these words, that opening bit of that passage, in those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. I can remember that, reading that or reciting that as a Sunday school child, lots of years ago. And I guess many of you who are much older than me, and that's easy, will remember saying it many years ago as well. It's just one of the... Doesn't it make you feel like a warm glow inside when you read those words? It just feels kind of, it's Christmas. That's what those words are about. It's hard not to feel the warm glow when you stop and think about it. But when you really stop and think about it, here we are. All that God has done for us in sending Jesus to be our Saviour, our Rescuer, that's what this is about. And that angel who appeared to the shepherd on the hillside outside Bethlehem, he said it all, didn't he? Look at verse 10. He said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for everybody. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The Christ is the descendant of the great King David, of David and Goliath fame. Christ was the promised rescuer king who God said he would send. And finally he's arrived. And starting with the lowest in society in their thinking, the shepherds, right the way up to the highest in society, with the wise men some months later, everybody got to hear that the Saviour had arrived. It's fantastic news. And it's no wonder that the skies were filled with angels singing. You know, when you read that passage, suddenly the great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God. It's almost as if the whole choir of heaven descended onto that hillside and just opened up. If you've ever heard maybe the Hallelujah Chorus live, then I guess that must be just some kind of a small pointer to what that hillside must have felt like on that Christmas morning, or late on Christmas night. Except for this. I wonder if you've ever stopped to think about what it was that the angels were singing. They stopped, and the whole sky lit up. We've got a children's book I was reading to my kids last night. It's one of those family traditions we do every year, about a fox who was about to pounce on a lamb. And he pauses because, he says, suddenly the sky is filled with shining men and they have no scent. And it's very confusing. And the story goes, he follows them down to the stable and, you know, I'll tell you about it some other time. But it must have been like that. For all the animals and everybody, suddenly the sky was just filled with shining things. But have you ever stopped to think about what they were singing? Look at verse 14. I think it's a surprise, actually. We're so familiar with it because it's part of our culture that we miss the impact. Glory to God, they say, in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. Listen, say the angels, listen. The first thing they have got is not to say, that choir when it appears does not say, great news everybody! They don't say that. Neither do they say, look at the gift! That's not the first thing they say. The first thing they say is, glory to God, or to God be the glory. In other words, to the angels, to the animals, to everybody else on that hillside, the great attention is, look how great God is! The one who deserves our attention, the praise, the adoration, is God. Not you, not us, God. They don't say, look what Mary's done! Though what she'd done was incredible, and Luke records that earlier on. She doesn't say, look what Joseph's done, though his patience and forbearance and downright godliness stands out as you read the Christmas story. It's not what the innkeeper did by parking them in a stable, when actually he shouldn't have had them there at all. And health and safety in these days would never have allowed him to have done that. No, it's all what God has done. And actually, when you look at it, Mary says something similar when she sang in response in the earlier chapter, in response to her cousin Elizabeth's words after baby John the Baptist inside Elizabeth had reacted to Mary's voice. Look at chapter 1. Mary said, my soul, what? Glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. When Elizabeth gives the reaction, and John reacts, the baby John inside Elizabeth, on Mary's voice, Mary doesn't say, yeah, I'm doing pretty well, aren't I? She doesn't say that. She says, God is glorified. And when Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad, at the end of chapter 1 of Luke, finally speaks after 9 months of silence, he starts with these words. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. Actually, that's the pattern that you find throughout the Bible. When people are aware of something that part of God's plan coming together, even though they may be at the very center of God's plan, they don't say, aren't I great? They always say, look at him! Isn't he amazing? God is great. Look at what he's done. God is great. Now, kids, you may know a little bit of what that feels like. If I illustrate it like this. You've got the present, haven't you? Some of you have shown the present already. And I guess you've probably bought little things. Maybe some of you got bigger things waiting for you. You've got bigger things at home. And when you pick up the bigger thing, you know, you open it up and it's just what you wanted, isn't it? Brown socks or something. Don't you at that point say, thanks Mum, or thanks Dad, or thanks Auntie Ethel. You're just fantastic. That is amazing. How did you know? It's just what I wanted, just what I needed. You are brilliant. Don't you say that? Well, I hope you do say. I hope you do say thank you at some point today. And you hear the angels are singing. Actually, not because they get God's gift of a Saviour. This choir that's singing over the top of the shepherds, they don't sing because they get the benefit of the Saviour being sent. Angels aren't saved by Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? They get no benefit from this at all. None at all. No. They're singing because to have organized such a great rescue plan for men and women and boys and girls in the first place, for God to be that kind of a rescuer, he must be so great. Just think about it for a second. God the Father organized the whole of history so that God the Son could be born to a poor woman in utter poverty in a situation so that the whole of the Roman Empire was on the move, that couple would be in Bethlehem on that day. so that God the Son would be born. All of the divinity of God contracted into a little baby. And there he is, set to grow up with a stench of a broken world and human sin around him. To watch his mum and his dad and his siblings lie and cheat and steal and hurt and do all the other things that we do because we're fallen human beings. And yet never to do them himself. He lived with that stench his whole 33 years. But he never committed any sin. And then finally to die on a cross to take the punishment for that rebellion on himself. What an astonishing rescue plan. No wonder the angels who knew it was coming were shouting glory to God. And in the full knowledge that human beings like us would take the Christmas story and twist it and misunderstand it and misapply it and talk about all the joy and peace and hope and all that kind of stuff I heard churchmen talk about last night on the radio and on the TV and not mention Jesus. And then there'd be other people who would completely ignore his rescue plan and follow this great religious route where somehow they're mentioning Jesus but trusting in themselves. And then there'd be other people who would use it as an excuse to do all sorts of crazy things that have got nothing to do with the Bible and nothing to do with Jesus. And then you've got God's rescue plan and he did it anyway. No wonder the angels are shouting glory to God. What a great God. Fancy entrusting us with this and doing it anyway. We must understand that the peace on earth that they sang about, look at it, glory to God, he gets the attention, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. The peace on earth that Jesus came to bring was a peace that had a real cost. You may be like me, I've been watching events unfold just on the news. It's been an odd week, hasn't it? Christmas being on a Sunday always feels slightly out of kilter. It's too long between the carol service and Christmas Day. And I've been watching events unfold in Iraq and the American military withdrawing from Iraq. Did you hear what they said? They said the war had cost them blood and treasure to secure a lasting peace. In other words, it cost money and very sadly it cost the lives of hundreds of soldiers and thousands of civilians. And just from the events of a couple of days ago, it looks as though the peace that they have secured is not going to last. And that's really hard. And we must continue to pray. But here, the peace that the angels are declaring, they're singing glory to God, praise God, because peace on earth that Jesus came to bring is real. It's lasting. It's powerful. It is eternal. And it is personal peace for every man and woman that will trust in him as Savior. Because it's the real peace between the two great warring factions of eternity. The warring factions of God and man. You know, when God first made us, he made us to be in perfect relationship with him and perfect relationship with our fellow man. But having rejected his authority in our lives, no wonder every other relationship we ever know sometimes is marred. And we know that is our experience. Jesus stepped into our world to bring real peace with him and so to promise peace between people. The very fact that we're here this morning indicates that in some small measure so far that has worked. It's just a little taste, church, just a little taste of a bigger reality. But it cost, that peace cost. The war between us and God we cannot win. But he has bought the peace in the person of his Son by his blood. And he's risen again from the dead to prove that it's worked. Over this next week or so, people are going to spend the time. Most people, I suspect, will have the time off work. And that's great. It's a great opportunity to benefit from all those bank holidays and not take too much annual leave, isn't it? But over this next week or so, people are going to be partying and celebrating and making ready for a new year. in which many people will wonder what the purpose of life is and try to shake off the hopelessness that nags their soul. They will. You know they will. Maybe you will. The money markets will go back to flux. I suspect they will go back to flux probably in the middle of the week. For those of you that are financial gurus, you will know as well as I do that the Far Eastern money markets don't recognize Christmas Day, so they're operating, well, it's Sunday, isn't it? They won't operate today, but they'll operate tomorrow. The UN will have its debates over the various shenanigans that are going on around the world. Our government will get on with the task of governing, and all of their work is laudable, and we need to support them and pray for them. But people will live, by and large, with their heads in the sand, pretending that peace exists, or at least it's unattainable, and therefore they don't have to think about it. What we have the opportunity to do on Christmas Day is to listen to what those angels shouted. It's all about God, glory to God, because he has brought peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests. We can recognize that true peace is only found when men and women and boys and girls take the gift of God's Son, forgiveness bought through him on the cross, real peace, and accept it for themselves. Christmas is really all about one big gift, the gift of forgiveness and the knowledge of God. And you and I today, on this Christmas day, we have the opportunity to say, thank you, Lord, for sending a Savior to save me. Please, will you save me? And if you don't do that, you are doing this to God's gift, which is just awful. You wouldn't do that to anybody else. Christmas Day, you and I, well, we can join the angels. We need to join the angels in saying and meaning, glory to God. What a fantastic present. To God be the glory. Forgiveness of sin, peace of heart, purpose for life. What an indescribable gift, isn't it?